guys are dismissed. Just keep standing. I don't know what you're dealing with today, but we just got done singing about amazing grace, and how awesome that is, and how great that is of God's grace. You know what grace is? Grace is getting something good you don't deserve. It's getting something good you don't deserve. Let's sing this chorus together. Sing it loud.
Sing grace.
As we prepare for worship, as we prepare for the Word of God. Give him glory this morning, for he is good. He is good. You can have a seat. Man, I'm glad you're here today. As we worship God together, we talk about grace. We talk about how awesome the Lord is. And we're in a series right now from Luke 7. So if you got your Bibles, crank it up to Luke 7 this morning. But it's called Come to Jesus. And we're talking all about coming to Christ, that God welcomes you. He's a gracious God and a loving God. And He gives us grace. He gives us hope and mercy. And we have a theme verse that we're learning from the book of Matthew. And it's in your notes. So if you got your notes, let's read it together. It's Matthew 11:28. Jesus invites us to come to Him. And let's read it together. Here we go. Let's read it. Here we go. Come to me, all who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Matthew 11:28. Jesus invites us to come to Him when things are tough, when things are a challenge, when things are difficult. The Lord invites us to come to Him. And as we learned last week, we learned that there was a story about a Roman soldier who had a concern. He had a sick son that needed help and the Lord's help. And Jesus went to that man. He was going to go to that man, but the man's faith was so much that he just said, just say the word and I believe the boy can be healed. And then as we pick up from that story, we then go right into the very next thing that happened in verse 11. And you can read it there in your notes in Matthew chapter 7, starting in verse 11. And it says this: soon after he was on his way to a town called Nain, his disciples and a large crowd were traveling with him. Just as he neared the gate of the town, a dead man was being carried out. Everybody say dead this morning. He was his mother's only son, and she was a widow. A large crowd from the city was also with her. When the Lord saw her, he had compassion on her. Everybody say compassion. He had compassion on her and said, "Don't cry." Then he came up, touched the coffin, and the pallbearers stopped. And he said, "Young man, I'll tell you to get up." And are you ready for this? Are you ready for what happens next? Look at your neighbor and ask him, are you ready? This is so cool what's about to happen. It's so neat what's about to happen. So Jesus reaches out. He touches the dead man. He says, "Young man, get up." And are you ready? This is it. Are you ready? He says, the dead man sat up and he began to speak. The dead guy got up. The dead guy came to life. And he began to speak, and Jesus gave him to his mother. And then fear came over everyone, and they glorify God, saying, "A great prophet has risen among us, and God has visited his people." And this report went about him through all Judea and all the vicinity. God, may you bless your word today and help us as we preach Jesus. This is an amazing story. Here is a lady that is a widow, which means that she's already lost her husband. In that day and age, if you was to lose your husband and you were a lady, that was a big deal because you had nobody to financially help you and provide for you in that period of history, in that society. And this lady had lost her husband. That's already a major, major disadvantage for this lady. And then on top of that, she had a son that would have been required to provide for her and to help her. But now her son had died. So this lady is literally left with nobody. And this would have been a huge financial blow to her, an economic blow to her, a spiritual blow to her, an emotional blow to her. And as the boy died, I mean, there was great wailing. The Bible tells us that as they were carrying the boy out on an open coffin, that's what they did back then. It was kind of like a board that they put the corpse on, and they would carry it out because the Jews could not touch a dead body without becoming unclean. So they would kind of carry the board without touching the body, and they would dispose of it by dumping the body. So they were carrying the body out. There was a large crowd of people. They were crying and wailing. They felt so sorry for the widow. They felt so sorry for her. And then as death is coming one way, I love it. Death and the entourage is coming this way. And this way comes life and its entourage. Here is Jesus with a large group of disciples that are following him. He's coming this way. The funeral is coming this way. And they collide. Life meets death. And what I love about this story as it happens, what I love about this story is this. That as life and death meets, we learn this. If you ever want to ruin a good funeral, invite Jesus to come to it. Okay? He will ruin a good weeping, in the aisle, crying funeral because he changes everything. He comes to the lady. The Bible says he sees the lady with compassion and he intervenes in the lady's life. I think it's fair to say that this lady had experienced an event in her life that crushed her, that destroyed her until life got involved in the mix. You know, when I was right after college, me and a buddy of mine, we moved up to Louisville to go to seminary for a couple semesters. We split a house together, an apartment, really, when we were up there and when we lived in the city. And my buddy Shay, he preached for us one time. Shay's a great guy. He loves the Lord. Maybe we'll plant a church one day. We'll see what God will do with his life. But Shay, we always joked with my buddy Shay that he was like the living version of Kramer from Seinfeld. Have you ever seen Kramer from Seinfeld? And it really wasn't so much that he was as weird as Kramer as much as that when he entered the room like Kramer and he left the room like Kramer, he just pow, just jump in. And Shay did that every time he went somewhere. He would just bam, open the door. And there were several times when he would enter a room and we were sitting by the door and he would pop us in the face with the door and all kinds of stuff like that. And it just, he was a living embodiment of Kramer is what he was. And what was funny about that, when we first moved in, we had all these boxes and all this stuff in the house. And right before I went to college, about 4 years earlier, somebody had given me this really nice glass chessboard. It was beautiful. And I loved it. I thought it was great. And I took it to college one semester, and I quickly realized this is not the place for a glass chessboard. So I meticulously put it back in the styrofoam casing, and I boxed it up. And for 4 years, that brand new chessboard sat at my house in Owensboro. I was afraid. It was just beautiful. It was nice. But then when we moved to Louisville right after college, and we got up to Louisville, I said, oh, we actually finally have an apartment of our own. I'll put the chessboard out. So I set it up really nice and meticulously. I set it up really nice and it looked really, really good. And I set it all out just the way it was supposed to be. And it stayed there for like a day, you know. We were getting moved in and everything was kind of getting moved in. We have boxes everywhere and stuff like that. It was on the coffee table in front of the couch. And my buddy Shay had taken his television and placed it on the couch. Now, why he put the TV on the couch, I have no idea. Maybe it was because God could use it as a sermon illustration like 10 years later. I don't know, okay? But here's what happened. One morning, I was still in bed. Shay had to wake up early, and he did his typical Kramer exit. And as he slammed that door, the glass chessboard that I had preciously preserved for 4 years in the box, as he slams the door, it jars the television, and it completely crushes my glass chessboard. When he comes back in, he says, "What happened?" I said, "You happened." He said, "I didn't do it." I said, "Yes, you did." We spent like the rest of the night picking up these glass shards out of the floor. And for the rest of the time we lived there, periodically we would have glass in our feet from walking around. And it all came because of this gigantic door that was slammed. And it just made the TV like a giant mousetrap just fall over and just shatter, make glass explode everywhere. And needless to say, I've not had enough emotional strength to get another glass chessboard. I'm still recovering over that. But here's the deal. When that was all said and done, when that was broken, there was really only one thing we could do. There was no need to take the box and to scoop it back up in the box or to try to piece it back together. There was literally nothing left. It was just little bitty fragments everywhere. It's like it just exploded like a bomb. It just went everywhere, as weird as can be. But there was only one good thing for it. Scoop it up and what? Throw it away. That's all it was good for. Scoop it up, throw it away. Scoop it up, throw it away. That was all it was good for. There was no need to display it anymore. There was no need to show it anymore. It was literally crushed. And it was gone. You know, that shouldn't surprise us. Whenever something normally gets crushed, you discard it. You crush fruit, you throw it away. You crush something that's valuable, it loses valuable, it's discarded. Well, the thing about life is, it's so weird, is that sometimes you get crushed in life. And I guess because we throw away everything else, it only makes sense that if a crushing event happens in our life, that we should just throw away our life as well. That there really is no more hope for us. You know, that we went through a disaster, a devastation, a blowout, something that was nasty, something that hurt a lot. As you start talking about the crushings, it's lots of things. It could be the death of a loved one. It could be a failed relationship. It could be a money crushing that happens. It could be a friend that crushes you. It could be a sickness that crushes you. A child that crushes you. And when you get crushed through relationships or through this or that or a sickness or cancer or whatever it is, we get very tempted to do something. And the temptation that comes to us is the same temptation that we do with everything else. That when it's crushed, when there's a blowout, when something happens and it's a disaster, we discard it. During times of crushing, and this is in your notes, we're tempted to do these three things. We're tempted to give up on life. Why should I live? I've lost this. Maybe it's better for me to commit suicide or to take my life or just to quit living. Or maybe it's not even to that point of suicide. Maybe it's just you just want to give up. You just want to sit in your house and eat Cheetos all day and watch TV. You just give up. You lost the drive. You lost the motive. You lost the energy to get you going. A blowout. The other temptation is that we're tempted to isolate others. Because when you get hurt, it's normally hurt by somebody else, isn't it? So when somebody else hurts you, what do you want to do now? You want to just, don't come anywhere near me. Put this wall up. Just get out of my business. Just leave me alone. Just let me be. I'm depressed. I'm sad. I don't need life group. I don't need community. I don't need church. I don't need your prayers. Just back off. Because I'm crushed. And maybe if we really want to get down to it and we really, really want to be honest, we're tempted to abandon God. God, if you were really there, why'd you let it shatter? God, if you were really there, why did my marriage blow up? Why did that sickness appear in my body? Why did that family member do this to me back then? Why? I'd love to say that I had an answer for why God allows everything that he does to happen. I don't. I'll be the first one to tell you that I don't understand everything in the Bible. I don't. I'm not a scholar. But I know what he's done in my life. And I know he's real to me. And I believe that when he says all things work together for good, I believe all things work together for good. Here's the deal. He didn't cause that crushing to happen. Yes, he allowed it. Yeah, he allowed it. He didn't cause it. Sin caused it. Fallen humanity caused it. That's a whole other sermon, man. But the reality is that he's in the business of putting it back together. Isn't that awesome? He's in the business of taking broken pieces and putting it back together when we're crushed. So the question is, should I really come to Jesus during a crushing time? Because the temptation, again, is to just give up. It's to leave God. It's to leave Christ. It's to leave everything because I'm hurting. So you're telling me now not to give up, not to quit on life, not to quit, but to actually come to Christ when I'm hurting, to actually run to Jesus when life didn't go the way I wanted it to go. I had it all planned out. A plus B equals C. And then B got taken away. And we don't have C anymore. And it just stinks. It just stinks. And there's another word I want to use, but we're in church. It just stinks when life does that to you. And now here I am telling you that you got to come to Christ when this junk happens. When it just blows up in your face. And it does blow up in your face. I'll be the first one to tell you, when you give your life to Jesus, man, it's not like some magic fairy wand where all the pain, all the suffering, all the hurt just disappears. That doesn't happen. That's not the Bible. Jesus said, you will have what? Finish if you know it. You will have trouble, he told us. Why? Because we live in a fallen, despair world. Listen, don't get mad at God when something bad happens. Just go to the Word and make sense of it, because the Word's not silent on this stuff. It's not silent on it. It tells us why it happens, but it tells us what to do when it happens. I think this is the joy of Jesus. And what you need to know is this woman was crushed, and her husband was dead, and now her son was dead, and she had no money. She was in poverty, and all these people were coming, and they were crying, and they were wailing, and they were just so sad and depressed, and they felt so sorry for her. And here she was leading the way on the graveyard, on her way to the graveyard. How many of you are on the way to the graveyard today? Because you gave up. You're on your way to the graveyard. Because there's no reason to exist anymore. Send me to the graveyard. Except there's only a problem. The problem is that sometimes when you're on the way to the graveyard, Jesus likes to get up in your business. And he likes to stop you on your way to the graveyard. Everybody's looking at the crowd of people that's mourning and crying and wailing. They probably had dirt on their face and torn clothes, and they were crying and wailing. But when Jesus and his entourage sees death and its entourage, Jesus looks, and look what it says in verse 13. When the Lord saw her, he didn't look at the big scene. He didn't look at the big commotion. He didn't even look at the dead body. But when he saw who? Her. He had what? Compassion on her. You're telling me that Jesus doesn't care about what you're going through? Absolutely he cares what you're going through. Absolutely he cares about your hurt. Absolutely he cares about your pain. Absolutely he cares about your problem. This is what I want you to catch. Jesus sees you today. He looks at you with eyes of compassion. Eyes of compassion. You know, so often we think that Jesus is just ready to beat us up and to yell at us. I mean, how many times have we got this picture of Jesus where if we come to him, he's going to smack us around, he's going to kick us, he's going to wound us, he's going to hurt us. And that's far from what the Bible teaches. that Christ is not here to wound you or to hurt you. He's here to heal you and to help you. That's what he's doing. And when Jesus looks at the woman, he sees her with compassion. Now listen, this is not pity. The Greek word here is not pity, but it's compassion. Pity is feeling sorry for someone. Compassion is feeling their hurt inside of them. It is empathetic. They feel it on the inside. They feel it. And when Jesus looked at this woman, you know what? He felt it. He felt her pain. And this is so weird for us as Christians, because God, as man, known as Jesus, sees the woman and feels for her. He's not an angry God on the throne getting ready to just whip somebody and beat you up. It's not Jesus. Yes, he rebukes sin. Yes, he calls us to a high standard. Absolutely. But when you're crushed, he sees you with compassion. And he sees your hurt. The Bible tells us in Hebrews that for we don't have a high priest who's unable to sympathize with our weaknesses, but one who's been tested in every way as we are, yet without sin. See, God, Jesus knows what you're dealing with because he's human. He's all God, all man. He knows. He knows what rejection's like. He knows what hurting is like, what suffering is like. He knows. And when he sees you in your condition, he feels you. He knows what poverty's like. He knows what homelessness is like. He knows what being rejected is like. But all that without sin. Jesus knows that the true victim in that situation was what? Was the woman. Why? Because she was hurt by sin. For the wages of sin is death. It kills everything. It kills your family. It kills your children. It kills you. Death is just the byproduct of sin. It destroys. It touches. It's nasty. So when you are suffering in your crushing times and you come to Christ, he's not going to yell at you. He's not going to yell at you. He loves you. He loves you. And he sees you and he feels that pain. He loves you. So the woman is seen by Christ. And he sees her with a compassionate eye. And you look at the very last part of that verse and you almost think, Jesus, why did you say that? Of all the things you could say, Jesus, why did you say that? Why did you do that? And what did he say? He saw her with compassion. And what did he say? Say it with me. Really? Really? Don't cry. I mean, come on. When he went to the tomb of Lazarus, minutes before Laz is getting ready to be brought back from the life. Remember that story in John, or I think it's John 11, 10 or 11. He's getting ready to bring Laz back to life. Bible says that before he did that, what did Jesus do? Jesus, he cried with the people, didn't he? And now here he goes with this lady who just lost her son, has lost her husband, living in utter pain. And he says, what? Don't cry. I'm going to tell you. Somebody walked up to me and I've lost all my family and they said, don't cry. I'd probably punch them. And I don't punch. I'd probably punch them. I don't think I care for that, Karen. I don't think I'd like it if somebody did that. And you think, Jesus, how cold hearted can you be? You see her with compassion and now you say, don't cry. What's the deal? Here's the deal. If all he did was say, don't cry and keep on going, he would have been cold hearted, right? But Christ did what? He stopped. He saw her. He said, don't cry. And then he did something. See, the thing is that Christ was comforting her. He said, hey, lady, listen. Something's about to happen. Something good's about to happen. I'm going to speak to you in a great way. And Jesus speaks to you today with encouragement. Just like he did to this woman, he speaks to you with encouragement. And when you're going through these hard times, listen, the Lord wants to tell you something, buddy. The Lord wants to speak to you a word today. He wants to tell you something that's a word. Now listen, the only person that can walk up to a person who lost her husband and her son and say, don't cry, is just Jesus. Nobody else can do that. If somebody in this room loses a family member, don't walk up to them and say, don't cry. You know why? Because you ain't Jesus. You ain't Jesus. Only Jesus gets to say that. By the way, at funerals, when I've seen a spouse die, I've seen so many godly women say, you know, I know he's saved. I know he loved God and he's in a better place. And I know I shouldn't cry, but I want to. And I tell them, cry. It's okay. Grieve. Weep with those who weep is what Paul tells us. It's okay. But here's the point of what I'm saying. In your hardships, you may not need to hear from anybody else. Not a family member, not a friend. You may not even want to hear from your pastor. But hear me on this. You cannot, in your times of crushing, hear me, plug your ears to Jesus. Because the Lord's got a word for you. And that word is a word of encouragement. He's the only one that can say something like, don't cry when you lost all your loved ones. He's the only one that can do that. Just Jesus. So the temptation, what? Stay away from church. Stay away from the Bible. Stay away from prayer. Because I don't want to hear you. And what Christ is saying, if you just open your ears. I know it's hard. You don't have to listen to anybody else. Nobody else. But listen to me. Listen to me. Listen to Christ. Don't run away from Jesus. Don't run away from God when you've had a blowout. Don't do that. There's a word for that. You ready? Dumb. That's what it's called. It's dumb. The Bible says he's the resurrection and the life. And if he's got something to say, he speaks words of life. Don't shut your ears. Don't do it. He's the only one that could do it. Now, here's what I love. He tells the lady, don't cry. And then listen. Then he does something. Then he comes up and he touches the open coffin. And the pallbearers stop. You know, and by the way, this would have shocked them. He was a Jew. He touched a dead body. Jews aren't supposed to touch deceased bodies. They become unclean if they touch it. Unless when you touch it, all the death just runs away and life comes. So when Christ reaches out and touches the dead body, there's no death. As I don't know what happens, but can't you just see as soon as his hand comes, the cells start to regenerate? And the blood starts flowing, and by the time he touches that body, it's no longer dead. It's life. And they stop, and then Jesus says, young man, I tell you to get up. You know what dead people do when Jesus tells them to get up? They get up. Isn't that awesome? They get up. They get up. If Christ goes to a funeral, they're getting up. But they've been embalmed. It doesn't matter. They're getting up. They got grave clothes on. Doesn't matter. They're getting up. The healing touch of Christ is a powerful touch. And when you're crushed and you come to Jesus and he sees you with compassion and he speaks a word of encouragement to you through his word and through prayer, be ready for his touch. And as he touches you, be ready for his power to surge through you. The thing I love about being a Christian is that our belief and our faith is not a dead religion. It's a living relationship where God is alive. It's not a dogma. It's not a set of rules. It's Jesus in us. It's Christ in us. Now, I know one day, this is what's so cool. One day, and we've not talked a lot about the end times in our church. Maybe we will down the road. We got to get the basics down first. Y'all only 2 years old, okay? You got to get a little bit under you first before we go to the hard stuff, okay? But one day, Jesus is going to sound a trumpet from heaven. You ready for this? And all the believers that have died on earth, now their bodies are on earth and dust or worm food or whatever, okay? Their spirits with Jesus because they're saved. But one day, the Lord will sound the trumpet, the souls in heaven will be released. You ready? Cool stuff. And the dead in Christ, not everybody, just the dead in Christ, The body's going to come back up from the ground. They're going to, that dead body, whatever it looks like, is going to meet the living spirit. And there's going to be a brand new spirit, brand new body. And you're ready? All those that have died with Christ will be resurrected. And they'll never, ever face death again. Never any suffering, never any pain. They'll have physical bodies. You'll have physical bodies. You won't just be like this ghost floating around. Resurrection. Only Christ can do that. One day He'll do it. One day the resurrected Jesus will resurrect you. And one day, you ready? He will wipe every tear from your eye, the Bible says in Revelation. Every tear from your eye. You ready for the good news? When Christ touches you, He does it in such a way that only He can do this. He can wipe the tears of divorce off your face. He can wipe the tears of sickness off your face. He can wipe the tears of burden off of your face. He can wipe the tears of doubt, of fear, of suffering, of brokenness off your face. Only Jesus can do that. But did you notice that when the boy comes back to life, when he comes back to life, dead guy gets up, he speaks, Jesus says, give him to his mama. Can you imagine the joy that happens? And look at verse 16. Well, what happens when the boy comes up? Fear comes over the people. Well, you know what? If I see a dead guy get up, I might be a little scared too. Y'all with me on that? Yeah, absolutely. Amen. Yeah, dead people don't get up. And when they do, I'm running. Fear came over everyone. But look what else they did. They glorified God. And they said, a great prophet has risen up among us. And I love this, don't you? Can we say this one little quote together? God, say it with me. Come on. 1, 2, 3 on three. 1, 2, 3. God has visited His people. Dude, I love it. I love it. God has visited. Can I tell you something really cool? When you are going through crushing moments in life, Jesus does not want to stand on the side. He wants to visit you. He wants to come in. But you must realize, and here's the last blank, that I need the visit of God in my life. I need the visit of God in my life. I need it. See, some today are on their way to the graveyard. You're about to give up. And whether you've had a physical event or suffering that's happened to you, and that you're just about to give up, understand that we are all sinners. We've all isolated ourselves from God. We've all done things that we're not proud of. We've done that. But hear me on this. We are all sinners. We're all crushed. You may not realize it, but you're crushed today because of sin. You are utterly helpless because of sin. You can't save yourself. There's no good deed you can do to save you. You are utterly hopeless because of your sinful state. Only natural response is the graveyard. But I want to tell you this in closing. Are you ready? Whatever it is you're dealing with that's leading you to give up, Christ, as you are on your way to the graveyard, today your trip to the graveyard is being interrupted today by Jesus. And this is a game changer for some of you all. I don't want you to miss this. Look right here. Look, listen to me. Some of y'all about to give up. Hear me. As you're on your way to death and despair and hopelessness and futileness and all that stuff, Jesus is coming to you today, and this is what He's telling you. Hear me. Don't miss this. He's saying this. There's no need for you to go to the graveyard today. Because I've already been there. And 3 days later, I'm gone. It ain't for you. Death ain't for you today. Life is for you. Life is for you. Hope is for you. Only in Jesus. You don't need to go to the graveyard. Been there, done that with Jesus. It's over, man. You just got to live today. Have you opened up your heart for Christ to live in you? Would you bow your head and close your eyes? If Taryn could come and play softly this morning. If you don't know Jesus today, you have no life. The Lord's not in your life. The only way you can ever be saved is through a personal relationship with Jesus Christ. For me, I was 7 years old when Christ came into my life. And it didn't make me perfect. It just made me forgiven. And Christ was in me. He's never left me. There's been times in my life when I've reaffirmed my faith or I've rededicated my life to live for God. He's had to pull me back on the path many, many times. He'll have to do that to me more. He'll also have to do it to you. But He won't leave you. That's the great thing about Jesus. Once He gives you life, you got it. It won't go away. Today, some of y'all are being interrupted with the way of the graveyard. You're being interrupted by Christ. Today, if you don't know Jesus, if you're not for sure of your eternal destination, oh, friend, I plead with you. I beg you to give your heart to Christ. I beg you to open up your life and say, Lord, I'm a sinner, but I believe Christ died for me, and I'm choosing to follow Him. Lord, come into my life. Lord, save me today. God, give me a new start. Do you know that you know that you know that you know He's in your life today? Do you know today? You're saved. Head bowed and eyes closed. Don't do this every Sunday, but I'm going to today. If you know today Christ is in your life, raise your hand up and say, Kenny, I know He's in my heart. I know heaven is home. I know it's home. God bless you so much. Thank you so much. You put your hand up. Ever.